Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. We all know the words of that familiar children's rhyme, don't we? Something that's been with us for hundreds of years. And whatever the origin, whether invoking the great plagues or something else, it knows the truth that ashes are about going down, about being laid waste, about humility, if not outright devastation. Because ashes mark the end of a fire, the end of a way of life, the end of ourselves. In the Bible, we see ashes being used as a sign of mourning, of humiliation, or suffering. And also they're a sign of repentance. The Jewish Encyclopedia notes that the emergence of ashes as a sign is lost in antiquity. We don't even know where that comes from. But we find it throughout the Old Testament. It has the sense of what is underfoot, of what is downtrodden, ashes and dust together, sometimes the words used interchangeably. Job sat in ashes. Jonah, the people of Nineveh, repent in dust and sackcloth. And the children of Israel, when unclean, took ashes from the burnt sin offering in order to be made whole again. We shouldn't be surprised, actually, by what ashes represent, even in our own time, because they are a picture of desolation. They're associated with war and calamity. From the Holocaust, the terrible ashes of the crematorium floating the air like snow, to victims fleeing war and genocide, covered in dirt and ash, to those who fled the World Trade Center, those who were able to escape, their faces obscured by dust, the air filled with billowing clouds of ash and pulverized concrete. I think we'll never forget those images. I saw today on the news this evening of an oil refinery that exploded in Torrance, California. And it looks like a war scene, and there's ash everywhere. People don't wear ashes on their face in good times. They wash. They bathe. Some put on makeup. Sometimes to cover their face. Or perhaps to hide what's inside. But ashes reveal. They don't hide. They are a sign of the true state of inner humiliation. Ultimately, ashes are very personal. Sinclair Lewis was a very successful author, a novelist of the early 20th century. He won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1930. In fact, he was the first American to win the prize. His best-known works of social satire include Main Street. Yet for all of his renown and wealth, Lewis died in Rome of alcoholism. Upon his death in 1951, he was cremated, and his ashes sent to Rome's U.S. Embassy for disposition. One morning, a visitor noticed a worker on her knees with a dustpan and broom, and next to her was an overturned funerary urn. When asked what she was doing, she replied nonchalantly, "I'm sweeping up Sinclair Lewis." That's an odd reminder, almost humorous, of the kind of thing we don't like to be reminded of, and that the scriptures tell us that we are indeed made of dust, and that's our destination. God's view of us is actually tempered by this fact. He remembers we are but dust, and we need to remember that as well. Ashes on the head tonight remind us of that inner reality and the journey that we must make. While ashes mark an end, they are also part of a beginning. For we can't really move forward in the life of faith until we come to the end of ourselves, the end of our own efforts, of our own plans. Donning ashes reveals a humility in our hearts. And that's what God's always wanted from us, is our hearts. It's the way life can be renewed. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. See, it's not the sign itself, but what it points to, what it reveals about our willingness to humble ourselves, to bend the knee, to turn and return. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. And it's God Himself, then, who will lift us up, who will rush to us and grant us His grace even as we enter the wilderness of Lent. The sign of ashes is not an attempt to win God's approval or to manipulate the divine intention. We don't need to do that. It's also not war paint made with the remains of last year's palms to show how hard we will battle sin and our own efforts in order to do the right thing. Instead, it's a symbol of surrender, to finally allow God the freedom in our lives to do what He has desired for us all along. This is God's work in us. Paraphrasing the prayer book, God is always more eager to forgive than we are to confess. Paul reminds the Corinthians of God's mercy that Isaiah declared, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you." Today we are reminded of our frailty, but also we hear the good news of God's power to cleanse and to make new, something that in our feeble dustiness we can't do for ourselves. So tonight we mark an end and a beginning. The end of ourselves and the start of a journey or a new leg of the journey that we've been on. St. Bonaventure spoke of three stages in the soul's journey toward God. Or we might say God's journey toward us. He calls it the three crossings. The crossing that is a beginning, the crossing that is in the making, and the crossing that is an arrival. It's the threefold paschal crossing, the journeys of Easter. The first is a crossing through the sea of contrition or sorrow for our sin. The second is a crossing through the desert of faith. And the third through the Jordan of death, and thus we arrive at the promised land. So for us tonight, we make a beginning in contrition. We enter the desert with Jesus in order to pass through death in the cross of Jesus Christ. But that is not the end, because that journey leads us to life and to the joys of resurrection.